Now, this morning, as I'm thinking about being all in, it actually got me thinking about some circumstances. On one of our trips a couple years ago, we made a trip out to Montana to go to Glacier National Park. Have any of you been to Glacier National Park? Anybody here? So there's been a few of you. I'd been looking forward to going to Glacier National Park because on Facebook, this picture came across a few years ago of a lake called Lake McDonald. And in the lake are all these different colored rocks, these different colored stones. And it's absolutely beautiful. And I saw the picture and I said, I have to go there. And so we made our way out to Glacier National Park. And Lake McDonald sits at kind of the bottom of the mountains there. And the glacier melts and all that runoff makes its way to Lake McDonald and fills that up. So there's a little stream that runs from the glaciers down to the lake. And as we were kind of hiking around and doing some things, we stopped along where the stream was at just to kind of look and see what it was all about. And we're standing there at a spot where the water is flowing down, and then it makes a turn, and it gets real deep. And we're standing there, we're looking at it, and I just, for whatever reason, this is not normally like me, I thought, when am I ever going to be here again? When am I ever going to have this opportunity? So I ripped my shirt off, and I jumped into the glacial stream. And you go down underneath the water, and the water is absolutely cold, so cold it takes your breath away. You know, you think about a time, I remember a time when I was in second grade, I was out on the monkey bars, and I was climbing, and I had my feet up and my hands up, and I lost my grip, and I fell flat on my back and knocked the wind out of me. And I just remember that feeling of not being able to breathe. That's a scary moment. Well, that's what happened when I hit the water. When I jumped in that water, it was so cold, it sucked the breath out of me. I could not take a breath. And they say that a lot of times in cold water like that, people will drown because as they're under the water, it's so shocking, it like makes you suck in, and people will suck in water sometimes and actually drown because of that. And so I come up and I'm trying to breathe. My wife's trying to talk to me. She's recording, making fun of me this whole time. And you can just kind of hear, like there's absolutely just no breath. In water like that, there's no just dip your toe in. You dip your toe in, you're not getting in. You ain't doing it. There was a moment, for whatever reason, I decided I'm doing it. I'm gonna live in the moment. Whatever happens, I'm gonna deal with it. But I jump and I'm all in. And that brings me to what we want to talk about this morning, is being all in for Jesus. And what that really means. Because a lot of Christians don't have any idea what it means to be all in for Jesus. What it really means to be a follower of Jesus. And in Luke chapter number 14, Jesus is having this conversation with a large group of people. There's multitudes that are following Jesus around, and he's having this conversation with them, and he says, hey, I want you guys to understand what it means. If you have your Bible there, in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says this, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So Jesus uses an illustration and says, listen, and he's expecting a desired response, and the desired response is that none of you would sit down to build a tower without counting the cost first? Can I follow through? Can I complete it? And Jesus wants us to understand the gravity of the choice to be a follower of his. He wants us to know what it means. And part of the problem we have with Christianity in Western society is we have people who have jumped in and said they want to be Christians, but never really counted the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. So Jesus explains the cost for us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the cost of what it actually means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus does the exact opposite of what our cell phone providers do. They want to hide the cost, right? So I want you to think about your cell phone provider for just a second. How many of you have Verizon? Where's our Verizon people at? Okay. How many of you have AT&T? Okay. How many of you have Spectrum? Any T-Mobile fans in here? Got some T-Mobile fans in here. Have you seen the latest T-Mobile commercial? And it talks about, we're going to give you a free iPhone 13 Pro. Free. So my wife's phone is garbage. She has T-Mobile. She has no storage. She can't take pictures. She can't do anything with her phone. It's constantly shutting down on her. So the other day she goes to T-Mobile and is, I'm going to see about this free phone. See what it's all about. Well, it's not free. Like, they want hundreds of dollars. They want you to sign your entire life away. They tell you it's free, and then they get you in the store. And then you figure out all this other. They hide the cost. And a lot of businesses do that. They want to hide the cost. Jesus doesn't want to hide the cost. Jesus is not trying to trick you. He's not trying to dupe you into being a follower of his. He wants people to understand the choice that they're making when they say, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. And so he gets here and he says, I want you to understand it. Because everybody who's going to build a tower, they think about it. Otherwise, what happens is they lay the foundation, they can't finish it, everybody mocks them. And we've all had, maybe some of us have had that unfortunate experience to make a fool out of yourself in public. How many of you have gone off a high dive before? You've gone off the high dive. All right, yeah, some of you. How many of you have attempted to go off the high dive, didn't make it? Just you. All right, just one. Okay, just one, just Lysandra. All right. So when you go off the high dive, for some of you, I don't even know if the pools have high dives anymore, but because it's too dangerous for today's world. You would go off, you'd climb up the ladder, and you have a whole line of people behind you. So you climb up the ladder, every rung on the ladder has a different person on it. There's this huge line. You make your way up, you stand on the edge, you jump off, right? It's exhilarating. It's a lot of fun. Lysandra, we were talking one the other day, and she's telling the story about how she decides, I'm going to do the high dive. And she gets up there, she waits in line, she steps up to the edge. Nope, ain't doing it. Not doing it. So everybody has to get down off the ladder. Everybody has to move back, move aside. She has to do the walk of shame. Excuse me, no, I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm not doing jumping. Get out of the way. Move, move, move. And you have all the people snickering and mocking, and you have to live with that shame forever. Because it's on the internet now. She wasn't all in. Do the high dive, you got to be all in. Nah, I think you were like 18 or something like that. And this is what Jesus wants us to decide. Are you all in or not? Like, are you all in? So, as we think about the cost, he says, I want you to think about it. Because I'm not trying to trick you. I want you to know ahead of time. So that when you make the choice to be all in or not, you can follow through with it. And in verse 25, Luke 14, it says, "Now great crowds accompanied him. And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" Now, some of you just found your life verse. You found your life verse. Jesus said, "Hey, if you don't hate your parents, you can't be a follower of mine." Some of you husbands and wives, you just found that verse. You've been looking for it your entire marriage. If you don't hate your husband and wife, parents sometimes, them kids, right? It says, if you don't hate your kids. Now that's an interesting verse. Because that doesn't seem to make sense with what Jesus taught. Doesn't seem to make sense with what all we know about Jesus. When I read that verse, it made me, what are you talking about? So I did a deep dive. Some of you don't know, my minor in college was biblical languages. So I decided I'm going to do a deep dive in the Greek. See this word hate, because Jesus is telling us to hate people, or we can't be his follower. And there's far too many Christians in our society today that they're known for hate. There's a problem with that. So I said, there's something here. Let me do a deep dive in the Greek and uncover whatever the secret treasure is of what Jesus is trying to tell us. And you know what? The word means hate. That's why they used it. Just means hate. So what do I do with that? Because Jesus doesn't contradict himself. We know Jesus over and over again said, "Hey, love one another." We know Jesus went so far as to say, "Hey, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you and mistreat you." He went on to tell his disciples, "Hey, by this, the world will know that you're a follower of mine if you have love for one another." And so we know what Jesus has to say about loving people. So what in the world? Why does Jesus say, "Hey, I want you to count the cost, because if you're going to be a follower of mine, you have to hate your mom and dad. You have to hate your husband, your wife. You have to hate your children. You have to hate your own life." And it got me thinking about ice cream. Actually, there's a lot of things that get me thinking about ice cream. Say, how do you jump from there to ice cream? I don't know. Ice cream's always right back here, ready to come up. So let's for an instance, let's say we're going to go down to the waffle cone. So we have donuts back here from Swillerbee's. Now we're going to go to the waffle cone. And I want you to think of your absolute favorite kind of ice cream. So think about what that is. You have one flavor you can pick. What flavor are you choosing? Who wants to share their flavor with us? What's your absolute favorite flavor of ice cream? All right, peppermint, what's that? All right, mint chocolate chip over here. Yes. Black raspberry. All right, good. Anybody else? Cookies and cream. Chuck? Butter pecan? Pistachio. All right. So we got all these different kinds of ice cream that we like. Now, when we go to pick out what kind of ice cream we want, it's not that we hate all the other kinds of ice cream. Unless it has coffee in it, then we hate that kind. Okay, I knew there'd be somebody likes the coffee ice cream. It's not that we hate all the other kinds of ice cream. It's just that's the one we like. That's the one we want. And Jesus chooses the word hate here as a way to emphasize what it is he's trying to say. Because he's not telling us, we know he's not telling us to actually hate people. That goes against everything that Jesus is and what he taught. What he's saying is we need to love Jesus so much more than we love anybody else. That if we compare the loves together, there is no comparison. That we love Jesus so much more than we love our wife, that if you were to look at them side by side, it would look like I hate my wife because I love Jesus that much more than I love my wife. He says, hey, if you compare the love that you have for your children to the love that you have for Jesus, if you really were to compare them, man, that love that I have for my children looks like hate because I love Jesus so much more than I love my children. And some of us have never sat and counted the cost of what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. Because we love our spouse and we exalt our spouse higher than we love Jesus. That's wrong. He says, if you do that, you are not a disciple of mine. You can call yourself a disciple of mine all you want to, but if you love your spouse more than you love Jesus, you're not a real follower of Jesus. There's a lot of parents out there that exalt their children above Jesus. He says, if you do that, you're not a follower of Jesus. And I know that goes against everything that our society says about parenting today. Kids first, kids first, kids first. No, that's not what Jesus says. He says, count the cost. Do you want to be a follower of mine or not? He's not trying to trick you. There might have been somebody in your life that tried to fast talk you into Jesus. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus always wants us to understand the cost up front. And he says, hey, if you're going to be a follower of mine, then you have to love me absolutely supremely. I have to be your number one. I have to be your most important. We are to love God with all our soul, heart, mind, and strength, he tells us. He is to be first. Above kids, above parents, above spouses, above grandkids, above yourself. He's to be number one in our hearts and our lives. And Jesus had already had this conversation about relationships with a couple of people back in Luke chapter number 9. And verse 57, he's having some conversation with some different people about what it means to really follow him. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Think about that. Jesus, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Once again, he's saying, hey, I want you to understand the cost. Here's somebody who says, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus said, hey, be careful what you're talking about because I don't have a home. I don't have a place to lay my head at night. He continues on. To another, he said, follow me. So as he's going along, he looks over, he sees this person, hey, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. So his father had died. Whoever this was, Jesus called to him and said, hey, follow me. This guy's father had died. He says, hey, before I do that, let me go bury dad. Dad passed away. Let me just go bury him. Notice what Jesus said to him. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So he says, my father died. Let me go bury him first. And Jesus said, listen, no. If you really want to follow me, that means putting me before dad. That means putting me before the family back at home. Continues on in verse number 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. So Jesus is calling different people to follow him, and somebody says, hey, I'll follow you. Let me run back at home and just say bye real quick. Let me just tell them, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'll see y'all when I see you. Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This guy just says, let me run real quick. We're not going to have this big days-long burial procession and everything else that this other guy is going to have. Just want to go say goodbye, let him know where I'm going. Jesus said, no. You want to follow me, I have to be first. Not looking back. Jesus is saying that this ought to be the most important relationship to you if you're going to be a real follower of mine. And some of us, we've been playing Christian instead of being Christian. We are so blessed in this nation, and we have since the beginning. The freedoms we enjoy, but it's cost us something. Because we haven't really had to understand the commitment that it takes to be a Christian. You look all around the world for most of time, somebody who says, I'm going to follow Jesus, they understood it was going to cost them everything. They understood it meant persecution. They understood it meant possibly giving my life. They understood it meant, for a lot of them, my family's going to disown me. See, for these people Jesus is talking about, it means turning your back on Judaism. You did that, you were as good as dead to your family. For many of them, their families would hold funerals for them when they got baptized in Jesus' name. Because they were cut off, they were dead to them. It wasn't just, hey, you're dead to me, and they said it. They literally meant it and held a funeral. That is true in a lot of places around the world. Think about the Muslim countries. If you decide, hey, I'm leaving this, and I'm trusting Jesus, they understand it's going to cost them everything. They understand they're saying goodbye to family, that they're going to say goodbye to friends. They're going to say goodbye to the people in their town. They are cut off. And we've lost that as Americans. Because for a long time, being Christian, that's just part of our society. And so we fail to understand what it means. Jesus wants us to understand that if you say, I'm going to trust in Jesus to be my Savior, I'm going to be a follower of His, we have to love Him more than we love absolutely anybody. And that means if it costs me some relationships, it costs me some relationships. And if I lose some friends, then I lose some friends. And if there's some family members that won't speak to me anymore, I'm going to be loving to them. I'm going to be kind to them. But if it means they don't want to talk to me, then they don't want to talk to me, because I'm going to follow Jesus. He wants us to understand the choice that we're saying. And so I want you to stop and to think about it. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Do you love Jesus more than you love anybody else? Is Jesus your number one? Jesus should be our number one, and there's not even a close second. Maybe you have put your family first. Maybe you have put a marriage first. Maybe you have put kids first. It's time to go to our Savior and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Because you're supposed to be number one, and I haven't made you number one in my life. I'm supposed to love you supremely, and I've not loved you supremely. Sometimes it's because we love ourselves first. You notice he said we ought to hate our own life also. That's my biggest struggle. My biggest struggle is right here. Exalting myself above my Savior. Luke 14, verse 25 says, now great crowds accompanied him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Being a Christian has a cost to it. Let's show this world what it truly means to be a Christian. It means that we will put Jesus first in our lives. Let's put him first today.